Reformed Church.
What we were talking about pre-service was what it means to be made a new creation, and then what that has to do with what you possess today. And I think if you've been hearing Reformed Church teachings for any length of time, you know that we talk a lot about what we possess and what we have, what is ours in Christ, like what we have. And we talk about things that are not popular among the church, right? We talk about how we have life in us and not death, how we have, and from that same life that we have on the inside of us, right? That's where a lot of the church gets its teaching about healing. And that is true, right? Because healing that the church talks about comes from the life of God that's on the inside of you, right? There is no other fountain of life. You know, the reason why you can lay hands on the sick and they recover is not because God has given you some kind of a superpower. It's because God is the one that has indwelt us, right? And if God dwells in you, then the one who is the resurrection life lives on the inside of you. So we, having the Spirit of Christ in us, we have the Spirit of Him who is the resurrection and the life, right? So we have been given that same life. When the Lord said that He had come so that He would be able to give us life and life abundantly, the life that He gave us, right, we receive that life when we have the Spirit of God in us, right? You don't receive life, it's not something that you receive apart from the Holy Spirit, right? When you have, quote unquote, the Holy Spirit, but even that sounds a little funny, right? Because when the church talks about the Holy Spirit, it's almost like this, I don't know, it always seemed to me like it was not so clear, and at least maybe it was just me that it wasn't very clear to me back in the day. When I say the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Spirit of Christ. When I talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Spirit of God, right? That's who lives on the inside of me, right? So what we were talking about pre-service was, what does it mean to be made a new creation? When is it that I'm made a new creation, right? When am I considered to be new? What is it about me that is new, right? And if we can read real quick from 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, right? So the first prerequisite to anything about being made new is that you have to be in Christ, right? Now, there's also, there's a verse in John 14:10. You don't have to go there necessarily right now, Andrea, but I'll just read it. It says, believe you not that I am in the Father? This is Jesus talking. Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Right, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the work. So what he's talking about there is about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, right? Being indwelt by the Spirit of God, right? And obviously that's the unity that the Father and the Son have, and that's why he's called the Son, right? Because he has been made just like his Father, right? But what he's talking about there is, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So obviously where we're going with this is that if we are in Christ, right, and Christ is in us, and we are also then in the Father and the Father is in us, just as Christ is in the Father and the Father is in Christ, right? So And we'll read that from John 14 in a little bit. But basically, what we're saying there, he says, if any man be in Christ, which we are, if we have the Spirit of God, Romans 8 says, if we don't have the Spirit of God, we are none of his. But if we have the Spirit of God in us, right? If we have the Spirit of God in us, that means we're in Christ. So if any man be in Christ, or if any man have the Spirit of God in him, right? If you have the Spirit of God, you're his, then that means he is a new creation, right? He's a new creature, or a new creation, some translations say. So my body is not new, right? When I was made a new creation by God, my body was not made new. My mind is being renewed, so it wasn't that, right? So it's not my mind. My mind is in the process of being renewed. It's not my body, because the same way my body looked the day before I got saved is the same way it looked the day after the Spirit of God came in to dwell in me. So the only piece that is new right now is our spirit, right? So we possess now the Spirit of God, and that's why he talks about the newness that we possess. It's called the newness of the Spirit. And you know what? I will find that for you if I can find it quickly, right? In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, right, says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and so Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So who is the glory of the Father? The glory of the Father is the Spirit of God, right? That's who he's referred to as glory. He said, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, right? Newness of life. And in even a little bit further down, I believe, in the next chapter, Romans 7. So that was Romans 6. This is Romans 7 and verse 6. Romans 7 and verse 6, it says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So the newness of life and the newness of the Spirit, right, it's talking about the same thing. In other words, what we have that's new is that we have the Spirit of God living in us, right, that has given us life. So this new life that we've been given, this born again experience, this being born of God, right, we were born of God when we were given death, right, baptized into Christ, and we have now new life, risen to new life by the Spirit of God in us. So if we establish then that this newness that we have, this new creation, is because we have the Spirit of God in us, then what we were talking about pre-service is how does that newness tie in to what we possess? Because again, if you've been around this church any length of time, you hear about the inheritance that we possess, how we have the makings of our heavenly body on the inside of us, how we have life on the inside of us, how we have healing on the inside of us, how we have power to wealth on the inside of us, how we have all of this stuff, everything on the inside of us. And Peter talks about it, he says, as we grow in the knowledge of Christ, as we grow in the knowledge of Christ, he says, as we grow in the knowledge of Christ, we partake of the divine that is in us, right? As we grow in the knowledge of Christ, we partake of that newness that's in us. We partake of the life that is in us. We partake of the divine nature that's in us, right? And so what we're partaking of is of the glory of God, right? What we partake of is the glory of God that is in us. So when you hear us talking about the glory of God that we possess, Jesus in John 17, he says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. Speaking about the church, right? He said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, right? I'm going to make you a vessel that the Father will indwell, right? A dwelling place. So when he made us, when Christ died on the cross, right, as when we receive the finished work of Jesus Christ, we become a dwelling place, right? Because we receive the finished work of Jesus from 2,000 years ago, we become a dwelling place of God, or the temple of God, right? And when you become a temple of God, or an abiding place of God, right? He says where were we here? Let me see. We were reading from Romans 7, 6. So when you receive that, the Spirit of God, then you have received then that newness, right? Now, where does that newness or that new creation then tie into what we possess, tie into the glory of God? So that's where I went. And actually, I'll give you the reference in case you need it. John 17 and verse number 22, that's where I read before. He says that the glory, Father, that you have given me, I have given them. Right, in Romans chapter 8, it talks about, he says, those whom you've predestined, you've also called, and those who've called, you've justified, and those you've justified, you have also glorified. So we that have been justified by the finished work of Jesus, right, we that have been predestined, right, we to be conformed to the image of Christ, we that have been glorified, how is it that we've been glorified? Well, we've been glorified with the glory of Jesus, right? That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, he that is in Christ has become a new creation. So you could say he that has been glorified has become a new creation, right? So if we can tie those things together, a new creation is him who's been glorified, right? A new creation is him who's been glorified. So we know what it means to be made a new creation, right? We have received the Spirit of God. We have been given new life. We were born again of God. And all of that newness is of God. Everything that is new about me as a born-again believer, all of that is godly, right? The old is of the old man that died, that was crucified with Christ, right? And then I've been glorified. I've been glorified with the glory of Jesus. So the same glory that the risen Christ has now, the glory that he said, I'm going to return to the glory that I once shared with the Father. That's the glory that we've been glorified with, that glory, right? So if those things are solid and those things are true, then let's go ahead and let's read really quick Habakkuk 2:14. Speaking about a day to come, he says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So let's go down, and with that in mind, let's read Isaiah 11, verse number 9. Isaiah 11, verse number 9. He said that there will not be any hurt or destruction, right? They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the one thing that we know from those two verses, and there are others, but I think those two verses are good verses for that, that there will come a day where the knowledge of God will fill the earth. And by respect, also he's saying that the glory of God will fill the earth, right, as the waters cover the sea. So when that occurs, right, when the glory of God fills the earth, then that means that that day, right, there will be upon the earth no hurt, no destruction. In other words, that the earth will no longer be under the law of sin and of death, right? Death will no longer reign upon the earth. And what has happened is that the glory of God has filled the earth, right? So when the glory of God fills the earth, there's no more hurt, no destruction in all the earth, right? So the heavens will be made new, the earth will be made new. The interesting thing, you know, when you read in Revelation 21 about the new Jerusalem or the new, right, when you read about the new Jerusalem, it says that the glory, that her glory, speaking about the new Jerusalem, right, the church, that the glory of the church is the glory of the Father, the glory of Christ, right? That the glory of the church is God's glory. Right, and it's interesting that the same glory that the church is seen to have by John, right? He looks and he sees the church, and he sees that the glory of the church is the glory of God. It's that glory that we've already said we've been glorified with, right? And in the new earth and in the new heaven, the reason why there will be no hurt nor destruction is because the glory, in other words, it's kind of almost like saying that the earth is glorified, right? In other words, the earth has been filled with the glory of God. And that's because the knowledge of God has filled the earth. So every believer, right, all the earth is filled now with believers, and they have full knowledge of the Lord. And because they have full knowledge of the Lord, they've been fully glorified, right? Well, you understand then why it is that he says then in Revelation 21, he says, all things have passed away. Behold, now look at the earth, look at the heavens and the earth. All things have become new, right? All things have become new. That's actually, we'll stop there. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 5:17 to you again, 17 and 18, and then I'm going to read to you Revelation 21:5. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, which we already know what that means, right? He said, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So he says there, that all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, right? That is the Father's house, right? We've come, he says, nobody can come to the Father except by me. Nobody can come to the Father's house if they don't come through me, right? In other words, it is only through my sacrifice that anyone can become, right, indwelt, right, by God. It's only by my finished work that anyone could ever become part of that spiritual household of God, the temple of the Spirit of God, right? And then in Revelation 21:5, right, and that's where we're going to end right there. Yeah, I guess, you know what? I actually wanted to read a little further up. Can you humor me for a little bit and go to verse number 1? I went to verse number 5 and I wanted to read the context in verse number 1. So verse number 1, Revelation 21:1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So you know that he's talking about all things that are made new, right? He's talking about the new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Same wording that it says that our old man is crucified with Christ and has passed away, and we have been made a new creation. It's the exact same thing that John is seeing manifest everywhere, right? He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Right? Then I, John, saw the holy city, that's the church, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride and adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. In other words, what that voice is saying is God lives inside of men, right? God lives inside of men, which is the exact same thing. Verse 1 happened to us. Verse 3 happened to us, right? It says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. That is straight out of Jeremiah, I believe 31, that says that this new covenant that we have, he says, I will be their God and they will be my people, right? It says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So the misunderstanding is that the church looks at that and reads the book of Revelation and believes that there has to be a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, that all that we have in us has to be fully seen in order for any of it to be true, right? But that obviously is contrary to everything we just read. It's contrary to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's contrary to so many things, right? Because the reason why the church can believe in healing is because they're made new creations. The reason why the church can believe that there's works of power that are done through believers is because we're a new creation. The reason why the church can believe that we have the power to wealth in prosperity. The reason why the church can believe in prosperity is because we're made a new creation. But we limit what we believe to just certain instances and times and little spurts of power, right? Because not because that's what's true, but because that's what we see, right? People that live by sight see sporadic manifestations of the Spirit of God. Therefore, they believe that what we possess is also sporadic. But it's actually the contrary, is that we have received fully. We are called by the Lord the fullness of Christ, right? We are his fullness, right? So we have received the Spirit of God. There is no such thing, regardless of what anyone has ever told you, there's no such thing as receiving the Spirit of God, but him being in you only at 15% strength. Or 15% power, or 15% of who he is in you. When you receive the Spirit of Christ, you receive the fullness of who he is. The same Spirit that the Son has is the same one I have. The same Spirit that the Father has is the same Spirit that's in me. So therefore, since I have that Spirit, then what trickles out is the manifestation of the Spirit of God. But that doesn't mean that's what you possess. That means that that's what's seen. Will there come a day that it will be fully seen? Will there be a day where God will say, see, it's done? In other words, see, it's fully manifest? Sure, there will be. Does that mean that today, right, that we cannot access the glory of God that is in us? Not, the contrary, right? It says actually beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, so you can see the glory that you possess and what's yours. So, you know what? I think that's really good. I think it serves a good purpose to be able to remind us, you know, when we talk about acknowledging every good thing that is within you in Christ Jesus, right? It's such a cool thing to remember. You know what? Every good thing, Lord, that I have in me, which is actually all the goodness of God, right, that you have in you, that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes. That's where every good thing stems from, is from all the good and all the perfect that God's given us, right? So that's good.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.